College Basketball Insider.
Some news and notes from around the world of college basketball.
In-studio correspondent for WFAN and CBS Sports Radio.
Attention, please, to John Rothstein. Please report to St. Joe's.
The Insider's Insider.
Joining us now with his thoughts and a break it down, John Rothstein.
It's College Hoops Today with John Rothstein.
Let's put the women and children to bed and go looking for dinner. John Rothstein here on the College Hoops Today podcast. Later in the show, we will be joined by newly minted UCLA head coach Mick Cronin. I want to remind you to subscribe to the College Hoops Today podcast on iTunes. We want to be your Bible for the college basketball season and beyond. We are the only college basketball podcast coming to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. Also, I want to remind you to check out the College Hoops Today fan page on Facebook. Give us a like, give us a review. Let us know what you think of the product we're bringing to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. And today's episode of the College Hoops Today podcast is being brought to you by my favorite sports drink, Body Armor. I have been drinking Body Armor for years. As the official sports drink of the NCAA, Body Armor is bringing superior hydration to the next generation of student athletes. With natural flavors and sweeteners and no colors from artificial sources, Body Armor is the more natural, better sports drink. So stock up on Body Armor, a retailer near you. And also want to remind you to send me your questions on Twitter. I'll get to them later in this podcast. I'm at John Rothstein. That's John, J-O-N. And we are now going to enter our special off-season section of the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. Each and every week, we will interview a brand new coach on the college basketball landscape. As I mentioned at the start of this podcast, we're going to start with UCLA's Mick Cronin here in just a couple of minutes. And I have many different thoughts on the UCLA coaching process. I have many different theories on the UCLA coaching process. To me, I never felt that UCLA was going to be able to secure the services of a coach who had a good situation in a power conference. There were rumblings, obviously, that UCLA was going to talk and possibly make an offer to people like Kentucky's John Calipari or Tennessee's Rick Barnes. I never felt in my heart of hearts that either of those two people, with the cachet they've built up at their respective schools, were going to take the job. There was also a lot of reports out in Los Angeles that Jamie Dixon, the head coach at TCU, wanted to be the next head coach at UCLA. Jamie Dixon had an $8 million buyout. He was never really a candidate when you really split the atom. And UCLA wound up with Cincinnati's Mick Cronin. Mick Cronin, to me, in 2019 is what Ben Howland was in 2003 when UCLA hired him from the University of Pittsburgh. Ben Howland at the University of Pittsburgh never got past the Sweet 16. That's as far as Mick Cronin has went in the NCAA tournament. Ben Howland, when he went to UCLA and was at a school that could recruit the best players in the country, became a superstar. He went to three straight Final Fours. He was regularly looked at as the best coach in the Pac-12 because he was regularly competing at the top of the league for Pac-12 regular season and tournament championships. And I foresee the same thing happening with Mick Cronin. Now, I don't want to disparage any of the players that Mick Cronin coached while he was the head coach at the University of Cincinnati. But the talent base that Mick Cronin is going to have as the head coach at UCLA is going to be vastly superior than the talent base that he had at the University of Cincinnati. The only player that came to Cincinnati with the ilk and the cachet of being a one-and-done level prospect was Lance Stephenson. And when Lance Stephenson played for Cincinnati, Cincinnati didn't even make the NCAA tournament. Lance Stephenson was a second-round pick. Now, Cincinnati has developed pros under Mick Cronin: Sean Kilpatrick, Jacob Evans, Gary Clark, Jaron Cumberland, obviously is a guy who's going to have a chance to play professionally, not in the so far future. But I don't think the overall talent is going to be near at UCLA what we saw Mick Cronin have at Cincinnati. And when you have better players, you have a greater chance to advance. Now, it's going to be interesting to see how UCLA takes to Mick Cronin's coaching style. And these are some statistics that really stand out when I think about how hard Cincinnati played under Mick Cronin and how much they valued each possession. Last year in college basketball, UCLA was 319 out of 353 teams in scoring defense. Last year in turnovers in college basketball, UCLA was 285th out of 353 in all of college basketball. Those things have to change for UCLA to take steps forward. What else has to change for UCLA to again become a team that's one of the best in the Pac-12 and one of the best in the country? We will find out coming up next. And a reminder, UCLA's Mick Cronin is our guest this week on the College Hoops Today podcast. He is being brought to you by our good friends at Geico. Everybody's got a to-do list. Drop off the dry cleaning, pick up some milk. Here's an idea. Let's save hundreds of dollars on car insurance. And the good thing is, you don't have to drop off or pick up anything. All you have to do is go to geico.com and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Extra money in your pocket. It just may be the most rewarding thing you do today. And again, coming up next, Mick Cronin joins the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein right now. UCLA has a newly minted head coach. He is Mick Cronin, and for the first time as the head coach of the Bruins, he joins the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. And Mick, what has it been like since last week to be introduced as the head coach of UCLA and not the head coach of Cincinnati?
Been too busy to really even think about that, John. You know, I talked to Mike Young of Virginia Tech yesterday, and it's amazing. You know, you say yes. And the minute you say yes, it's 300 miles an hour, Mach 10, with your hair on fire, even though I don't have any, and it just it hasn't stopped at all, buddy. But you know, walking to work is probably the best thing. So right now, I'm living on campus in the beautiful hotel we have, and I'm walking by Pauley every day. And they don't talk about the weather out here, John. It's 75 every day.
No, it's a good thing to be a part of each and every day. And one thing that was probably obviously, you know, an arduous thing to be a part of was the process for this whole job search. What was it like first letting it be known that you were a candidate and then waiting to find out that you were the choice of the UCLA administration?
Probably not what everybody thinks on the outside, because obviously I was in a great situation, one that I would have left only for a very, very select few schools. So I was busy doing my job and being a dad, and just let it all play out. So I didn't ride, you know, there was no roller coaster for me. The process and the search is much harder on other people that, you know, that had to run it and deal with it and deal with the many rumors and all the things that go on with, especially obviously a high profile search. So didn't affect me at all, though, really. Just focused on my job the whole time and let it play out.
Now, Mick, anybody that follows college basketball is well aware that you had a ready-made team at Cincinnati to go to war with next season. You won 28 games this past year. You were going to return four starters. How difficult was it to go through the process of saying goodbye to them?
Hardest thing I've ever done as an adult. You know, again, very, very few opportunities that I would have left Cincinnati for. Because quality of life, as you know, and my daughter are the most important things for me. What's best for her comes before me. So, you know, opportunity for her, you know, the opportunities abound for her for a lot of reasons here in Westwood. But I will say this, never thought I'd be in that position, because if you only have a couple special places that you would leave for, what are the odds you're ever going to have that opportunity? So I'd never really contemplated it. Never imagined telling those kids that I wouldn't be their coach, that I wouldn't voluntarily not be their coach. So, you know, in the recruiting process at Cincinnati, we would laugh. So, you know, the last thing you ever have to worry about is me leaving. Again, you know, never thinking that the couple places that you would go to would ever present themselves as opportunities. So, yeah, but that was the hardest part, as you can tell by the change in the tone of my voice.
You know, Mick, UCLA is a fishbowl-type job. Everybody knows that, who's obviously followed college basketball and covered college basketball. But you, when you went back to Cincinnati, had a difficult situation to step into as the first full-time coach that replaced a legend in Bob Huggins. How will being the first full-time Cincinnati coach that replaced Bob Huggins prepare you for the fishbowl that is UCLA?
I would say that's probably the thing that would give me the best chance to be successful, you know, in all honesty, to be quite frank about it, because what you learn is you've got to toughen your skin and you've got to keep your eye on the ball, and you've got to block out noise. You've got to go reach out and bring people back to a program that said they would never come back. And you just got you've got to grind and work, and you cannot get caught up in the noise. You can't get caught up in things that aren't going to affect winning. And that's I think that's the advice I would give any coach. But when you're dealing with obviously the dynamics of being a head coach at UCLA and our tradition and our history, my training and what I went through taking over in 2006, and it was truly not a good time to be the coach at Cincinnati for a multitude of reasons of things that went on before I got that job. So that training was invaluable, and I'm hoping obviously it's going to help me keep my focus here and on building my program and the culture and the. Because if you don't do that, you're not going to be here. So you've got to be able to make sure that you keep your focus on what's important and whatever you're doing with your job professionally.
UCLA head coach Mick Cronin joined the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. You know, Mick, I had a chance on Friday to have some correspondence with one of your predecessors. He was the predecessor to Steve Alford, and that's Ben Halland. And he was telling me about how happy he was for you and how great of a job he thinks you're going to do. How much, because I know you have a relationship with Coach Halland, will you lean on him as a resource as you navigate the waters here early on the outs?
A lot. People on the outside, they don't know me as well as you do. They don't know who my friends are, and there's coaches, and I obviously have a relationship with Coach Alford. Ben and I are close and have been for a while, tied into each other through Sonny Vaccaro and different people on the West Coast that we're both friends with, and my respect for him and his run as the Bruins head coach throughout the process and watching those games and those teams led me to this point, because when he got the job is when I really started watching a lot of UCLA basketball as a contemporary and friend of his, and having great respect for it and wondering, and admiring what he was doing. Without question, I want everybody to know, especially the Bruin family out there, that Coach Allen has already reached out to me, and we're going to continue to talk. And like I told him when he retires, I'm going to try to get him back as special assistant, but I don't think I'll be able to get him out of Santa Barbara if he ever decides to go home there.
No, definitely not. And Mick, you coached against UCLA in each of the past three seasons, so you're very familiar with the roster. I know it was really young last year when you played at Fifth Third Arena, and they've lost a couple of guys to the NBA and Jalen Hands and Chris Wilkes. But from what you coached against and what you've seen since you've been on campus, your thoughts on the roster you inherited?
Well, I think clean slate is what you got to do. It's the right thing to do as the head coach. It's fair. I'm a candid, direct guy. That's probably what I'm known as in the college basketball world. But we're in this for the kids. But you got to give clean slates to guys. But the clock does start now. I'm here. Especially this week, I've been scrambling. We had our first workout. But the clock starts as far as, my expectation levels for what I want our guys to stand for. And I guess the biggest message I would say, John, is it is – we won't be entitled. It's an honor to be here as the head coach, and I will always feel that way. I felt that way at Cincinnati, and I want my players to feel that way. And even if you're the number one player in the country, and I hope you come to play for the Bruins and you're going to be the first pick in the draft, I want you to feel like it's a privilege to be at UCLA. And I had lunch with the great Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, and he still feels that way. He told me that he and Bill Walton both told me the same thing. It was an honor and a privilege to play at UCLA and to get the opportunity, obviously, for those guys to play for Coach Wooden. But they felt that way, and I think that's what made them great men and great people and successful. And that'll be the staple of our program. That I'm all for everybody's success individually, but we will all feel like it's a privilege to be here in Westwood.
Well, and anybody who has a conversation with Bill Walton might say that's alone is a privilege. What was it like to talk, you know, one-on-one with Bill?
He is an amazing guy. I mean, he's just an amazing guy and lived an amazing life. You know, I would tell you, he always seems so happy. You see, I always thought that on the air, listening to him late at night. But when I spoke to him, he sounded the exact same way. You know, I think wouldn't it be great to go through life with his attitude? I mean, he just seems so happy all the time. That's you know, I try to learn something from people when you talk to them and hang up thinking, man, wouldn't it be great to always be positive like him and always have such a great attitude?
So UCLA head coach Mick Cronin joined the College Hoops Today podcast with John Ruston. I almost did Cincinnati, I know.
You almost did it. Just so you know, I called two recruits, and I almost said it when I called them. I almost did it, too. I caught myself, too.
But Mick Cronin is the head coach of the UCLA Bruins. He's on the College Hoops Today podcast with John Ruston. Right now, Cincinnati, your old school, named a head coach on Sunday. John Brown, head coach at Northern Kentucky. That means Darren Savino, your chief lieutenant, is going to come west. What else does Mick Cronin's first UCLA staff look like?
Again, you know, say you got to get guys that are going to feel like it's an honor and a privilege to be here. I'm a big believer in cohesive staff. I think it's competitive sports at any level. You cannot win a championship if everybody's not on the same page, pointed in the same direction. And that's the most important thing. So now that I can get Darren in here and then take it down the line from that and make sure that we all are comfortable with each other, we all know there is no your recruit, my recruit, things of that nature, that we're going to be a team, and the players need to see. We can't. How do you ask it, a group of young guys to be united as players if they see the staff's not united? So that's extremely important. And now we get Darren out here as soon as possible. I need somebody with me. The people here have been great, but get him going and then get on down the line from there. And I'm glad you mentioned John Brandon. I want to congratulate him here on your podcast and send a message to the people at Cincinnati. You know, please support John. Give him a chance. He's going to do a great job. He's a heck of a basketball coach.
Well, you obviously proved in your tenure at Cincinnati, you're a heck of a basketball coach as well, 9 straight NCAA tournaments. But Mick, and you know, preparing for our chat today, I went through some of the Bruins statistics from last year's. Last season, UCLA ranked 319th out of 353 teams in scoring defense, and they were 285th out of 353 in turnovers per game. As somebody who values both of those two areas so much, what is your response when you hear those two things?
Well, obviously, too young. They were too young last year, and they had a brutal schedule early, and then they lost their coach on New Year's. So it's really hard to judge the team based on what they went through last season. So but I don't care if it's Seton Hall, Kevin Willard, or Mick Cronin now at UCLA. You don't play defense and take care of the ball, you got no chance. I mean, you give yourself no chance. So that's pretty obvious. But I can tell you that won't be the case. Those stats will not be repeated next season. Now, I don't know about the rest of them, John, but we won't turn it over and have those type of defensive stats.
You know, Mick, when you take this job and you go from what is a great program in Cincinnati to what is a blue blood program at UCLA, you join a certain club. You play in certain games. You're going to play in the CBS Sports Classic every year. You're going to play other blue bloods. But that also means that you're going to have certain things on your schedule every year that a lot of times can't be shifted. You and I have talked a lot about the importance of schedule the past couple of years. What ideally do you want that schedule to look like now that the cachet that you're coaching each and every day has raised up a weight class?
Well, I think, you don't reinvent the wheel. You know, one thing about when you're at UCLA, obviously at some other schools that you refer to as blue bloods, scheduling is at your fingertips. Everybody wants you, whether it's, like you said, the CBS Sports Classic and, things of that nature, the Maui every 4 years, the home and homes with other great teams. But So you don't need to reinvent the wheel. I mean, what you have to do, though, is ascertain where you're at as a program and make sure that you're putting yourself in a position to have some time to develop if you have a young team. If you know you're going to have a great team, you want to challenge it a little bit more. And over time, I've learned. I'm a big studier of the schedule, as you know, a big believer in it. Coach Izzo at Michigan State, I've followed him. I admire him. I've read stuff. You know, there's times where he maybe said he overscheduled. I thought Matt Painter did an unreal job. He's a friend of mine this year at Purdue because his schedule was unbelievably hard early this year. But it didn't pull their team apart. But he could handle it because, not obviously, one, Matt's a great coach, but two, they had a veteran team. So it just depends on what type of team you're going to have. That's where you have to try to adjust year to year how young you are, because sometimes you're going to need time to come into your own as a team. So those are the challenges with scheduling, and it's never going to end. And scheduling is and recruiting are 1 and 1A of importance once you get your staff together and build your culture.
Mick, I know you just got the job, and I know you're still trying to put things in place, staff, and obviously finish recruiting and so on and so forth. What is the biggest thing you're going to hope to enforce at year one, regardless of what your personnel looks like down the line?
Same thing I did year one at Cincinnati, year one at Murray State. Now, polar opposites. Year one at Murray State, Coach Anderson left me a lot of players. I had a veteran team, so we won 28 or 9 games, whatever, and went to the NCAA tournament. But I had the same mentality, even though at Cincinnati it was a grind early. But you've got to set the foundation for you cannot be easily defeated. You have to set a foundation of standard of operation, teamwork, toughness, culture, togetherness, everything we stand for as a program. You have to make sure that you do that. It's no different, John, than building a home. You got to lay the foundation first. You can't bypass that. And you got to make sure the guys that are, in my case, when you do inherit players, which I'm inheriting a lot of players, losing some to the NBA, but the guys that are now coming or that are here with me coming, they're now my players. So we have to lay the foundation for what I want our program to be all about. How many wins that equates to, it's obviously way too early. I'm still getting to know these guys. We're still recruiting, still trying to figure out what we're going to look like next year. But no doubt, you've got to set the tone early with your culture about what who you're going to be and what you're going to stand for if you put on the Bruin uniform.
Well, Mick, know you're slammed. We appreciate a couple minutes. Congrats on the job. Very happy for your success. I'll be out there next month, so if anybody's looking to come to a workout in May, it's definitely me.
Well, and I know what else comes with John Rothstein visiting. Great. We're going to have a great meal.
That's the plan. That's always the plan.
All right, my friend. I appreciate you having me.
We'd like to thank UCLA head coach Mick Cronin for joining the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. I want to remind you to subscribe to the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein on iTunes. We want to be your Bible for the college basketball season and beyond. We are the only college basketball podcast coming to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. Also, I want to remind you to check out the College Hoops Today fan page on Facebook. Give us a like, give us a review, let us know what you think the product we're bringing to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. And time now for our social media portion of the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. Send me your questions on Twitter. I'm at John Rothstein. That's John, J-O-N. Our first question comes from Will Larson. It's, John, do you see 2019 as Mississippi State's best shot for a tournament run, or do you think State looks better beyond that? This one I'm going to tell you right now, Will. It all depends on Reggie Perry. Reggie Perry, if he comes back to school, has a chance to be an All-American next year for Mississippi State. If he's back, I see a Mississippi State starting five. That is Nick Weatherspoon at the point, Tyson Carter at the two, Robert Woodard at the three, Perry Abdul-Adu up front. That, to me, is an NCAA tournament team. Our next question from Gatorbait 08, and it's, John, where do you think Florida and Mike White can finish in the SEC this year? Florida, to me, is a top 25 team entering next season. I look at Florida and I see a team that's going to get instantly better on the wing with Scotty Lewis. Obviously, I know that Andrew Nembhard went through the NBA draft process and is going to go through the deal. I expect him to be back in school next year. Here's the thing that you have to keep in mind right now when you're evaluating the NBA draft pre-draft process. Players this year can sign with an agent, get consultation from that agent, and still terminate them and come back to school. We're not going to have full clarity until next season, probably until mid-May at the best. So there's a lot still to be sorted out right now. Our next question comes from Ben Wharton. It's, John, is Marquette now a Final Four lock with Marcus Howard coming back? I don't want to say a Final Four lock. I will say this. Marquette bringing back its whole team is a consensus top 10 team entering next season. I want to see, though, how Marquette does in a Big East conference that's going to be significantly better next season. Marquette did a great job capitalizing on opportunities in a Big East conference that simply wasn't that good and no teams in the Sweet 16. We'll see how the Golden Eagles do next season with a ready-made college team. And a reminder that the College Hoops Today podcast is being brought to you by Body Armor.
It's March, and that means March Madness is here. Busted brackets, buzzer beaters, and upsets are coming. As the new official sports drink of NCAA March Madness, Body Armor is here to hydrate the next generation of elite student athletes with natural flavors and sweeteners and potassium-packed electrolytes. Body Armor is the more natural, better sports drink. Thanks, Gatorade. We'll take it from here. You can find Body Armor sports drink at 7-Eleven.
And Five Good Nuggets is sponsored by our friends at Body Armor. With natural flavors and sweeteners and no colors from artificial sources, Body Armor is bringing superior hydration to the next generation of student athletes.
Five good nuggets.
Five.
Six.
No, five. But you were close.
Nugget number one, the dust is yet to settle. My biggest takeaway from watching the Nike Hoops Summit on Friday night, in addition to many key college players waiting on the NBA draft process, as I just discussed, there's also a slew of top high school guys who are still undecided. There's a lot to be sorted out for the 1920 season. A couple of big names you're going to be hearing right now over the next couple of weeks and months that have yet to commit. Cole Anthony, the top point guard in the class. Matthew Hurt, a talented forward. Also guys like Precious Achiuwa. There is a lot to be sorted out in terms of the top prospects in the 2019 class and how that will affect the 2019-20 college basketball season. Nugget number two, impact transfers. Grad transfers and transfers in general are usually a dime a dozen, but two that stood out to me already on the circuit. Lamar Fresh Kimball committing to Louisville, the grad transfer from St. Joe's. He's had injury throughout his career, but I think a good pickup for Chris Mack and company. And also West Virginia grad transfer James Beadle Bolden committing to Alabama. He's immediately eligible. Those are two things that definitely stand out. Nugget number three, back with the pack. Nevada's hire of Steve Alford, to me, was one of the more underrated hires of the coaching carousel. Nevada couldn't hire just anybody to replace Eric Musselman. Steve Alford was dominant in the Mountain West before he left New Mexico to take UCLA. If he can continue to build on the momentum that Eric Musselman has put in place, Nevada could maintain its perch as a top team in the Mountain West Conference. Nugget number four, the guy that followed the guy. Talking now about Cincinnati head coach John Brannan, who is going to replace Mick Cronin, who we just spoke with. Mick Cronin went to nine straight NCAA tournaments at Cincinnati. Cincinnati, to me, with Mick Cronin as the head coach, was projected as a top 20 team entering next season. Style of play will be a lot different. John Brannan, though, did a great job at Northern Kentucky in the Horizon League, and we'll definitely do everything we can to get both John Brannan and Steve Alford on this podcast in the next couple of weeks. Nugget number five, the SEC American Alliance. According to sources close to the situation, the SEC teams that are not involved in the SEC Big 12 Challenge will play home-and-home series starting in 1920 against select teams from the American Conference. The goal of this alliance between both leagues is to do what? Create more Quad 1 and Quad 1 opportunities, and this is going to eat up opportunities for teams outside these conferences, like the Atlantic 10, like the Mountain West, to get more Quad 1 level games. So I think a good move right there in order to build some quality harmony between these two leagues for non-conference scheduling. I'd like to thank UCLA head coach Mick Cronin for joining the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. I'll be back next week, same bat time, same bat channel. This was the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein.